When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweeten from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Are we singing, Cody?
Or should
we
just
it's a day. Today is a day of days, not of the weekend. But you might be listening to this on the weekend.
Do people listen to our show on the weekend?
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. 9/11 was an inside job.
There it is. There it is.
O.J. Simpson flew those planes into that tower. Speaking of 9/11, Gilbert Gottfried died. That's a bummer.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he just died just now after a long illness.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here when we just
67 years
this
old.
News.
Robert,
that's
you,
a real bummer.
Today?
Uh-huh.
Can you explain why that joke is...
So Gilbert Gottfried... When we have a decent number of folks who are younger who were either not born when 9/11 happened or were too young to remember it. Everyone lost their mind to a degree that like is not understandable or fair. People went completely fucking insane, and it's part of why so many terrible things were done. And there was this like fascisty religious significance lent to 9/11 and the deaths that justified just outrageous crimes across the globe. And you couldn't like talk about it without referring to it like the crucifixion of Christ for years. It was just a really fucked up the way in which 9/11 went down in our collective memory. And Gilbert Gottfried, God bless him, day after 9/11 gets up and says, you know what? I got to get back to work. And he goes up on stage, does his stand-up, and just jokes about 9/11, like right after the and gets canceled for it. Doesn't work for like a decade. Just blown out of the water. But by God, he was ahead of the curve, because now we all joke about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's the funniest thing in the world.
Yes.
Because it has to be.
Non-stop mm-hmm. laughs.
Because when we took it seriously, we killed a million people.
Mm.
Cody, this hit you hard.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is. It is. He was a very talented comedian.
Yeah, very funny.
And seems like a nice man.
His 9/11 stuff is very funny. His aristocrat stuff is very funny.
Oh my god, he is the highlight of the aristocrats.
What did he say? What is his 9/11? What is his 9/11 stuff?
Just a bunch of 9/11 jokes.
Just a bunch of really good 9/11 jokes. I mean, you can find if you Google Gilbert Gottfried 9/11.
I have to catch a flight to California. I can't get a direct flight. They said they have to stop at the Empire State Building first.
that's one what example. A champion! What a hero!
He just leaned into it. He knew he's like, if I do the worst jokes possible, then eventually people will start laughing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a bummer.
What? How did he die?
You know what else is a bummer? A long illness, as all his family said. He'd apparently been sick for quite some time.
What else is funny?
Another bummer. A gunman wearing a gas mask set off a smoke bomb and shot 10 people in a New York subway car.
Yes. The jokes don't stop coming.
Yes, the yucks.
This looks like a developing story, but yeah.
Yeah, as of the moment, it's unclear if anyone died. That very likely may have changed by the time you hear this episode, but hopefully not. I'm looking at right now, the most recent stuff we have is 5 people in like critical but stable condition, and I guess 6 others injured by shrapnel from bullets and other sources. Who knows what that is? Sometimes bullets go through people or fragments of them break off or something. Hopefully no people will die. Obviously there's apparently been kind of an increase in, or at least the narrative that's forming is that like crime is surging in New York's public transit, and you know, we got to add more cops, which we don't. That would not have solved this, and I can say that because they just added 1,000 cops to the 2,500 who already patrol the subways.
I was gonna say, didn't they already
have
do
a
that?
Massive budget.
Yeah. They have a $10 billion budget, which is larger than the military budget of the nation of Ukraine, if I'm not mistaken.
It's so frustrating when they spin this around as some sort of indictment of defund the police. When we have not defunded the fucking police.
There were so many cops in the subways. And they didn't do anything.
Well, they like harass vendors, and
they sure harass vendors and homeless people.
And people who like jump over the turnstile and stuff.
I did
sure
hear
they give over some tickets, petty little bitch tickets.
One report of a cop who came on the scene and asked someone for their cell phone because his radio didn't work to call in the shooting. So,
oh, good, that's nice.
But yeah, I mean. Look, they just added 1,000 fucking officers. One of the things they promise is that there would always be an officer at like every stop. It seems like it doesn't matter if someone's going to do a thing. We don't yet know. Obviously, we'll talk about Biden's made a new gun control kind of push. We don't know yet the degree to which like this was an illegal or illegally owned firearm or what kind of gun it was. No way to know. At this stage, at the moment, the perpetrator, who's described as a black male with a heavy build wearing a green construction type vest and a hooded sweatshirt, has not been caught. Also, that may not be the guy's description. One of the things to note is in the immediate wake of this, there were claims of explosive devices left behind and claims of multiple shooters, which is the case with basically every mass shooting, and it's almost never the case. There's almost never unexploded devices, and there's almost never a second shooter. But when there is a shooting, people generally who are on set generally tend to feel that like, oh my God, there were a bunch of shooters or whatever, or it was a machine gun.
Yeah,
like, this
I mean, anything
understandable.
Like this.
People are not used to being shot at and they panic. I'm not putting any blame on them. It's just as a consumer of media, when you hear initial reports from a shooting like that, take them with a heavy grain of salt because every shooting.
I mean, any
that
shooting,
yeah.
I like almost like was like didn't suggest we even bring this up because it's
we
like
don't know
the,
yet.
As the information comes in, yeah. At least wait a day,
yeah.
And
it's like some of the reporting is saying that the New York City police are not investigating this as an act of terrorism. I've read other stuff that says, well, no, they think it might be. They just don't know enough yet to say if it was, which seems totally fair. You know, not that I'm like,
yeah.
It's reasonable to say like, yeah, we have no idea why this happened yet. Of course you don't. It's just a guy shot people.
It just happened.
Yeah. And also like the operating definition of terrorism,
right?
I saw something like this isn't a case of classic terrorism. Like, so I don't like what.
How do you know? You don't
anymore.
Know shit yet. Shut up. Like, maybe it is. Maybe it's
well,
not.
Classic terrorism. What does that mean? Does that mean a brown that different I mean, skin?
Probably race
person?
Based. Maybe it's religious based. I don't know what they meant by that, but I don't know. 10 people shot. Subway seems a little terrifying.
It sucks. It's real bad. It's definitely bad. I think we can pretty safely say it's bad. But nobody knows anything.
One of the witnesses went straight to work right after. I hope they had a.
Oh, and Uber put surge pricing in outside of the
city. Yeah, they did.
What?
Yeah, Lyft and Uber upped their prices.
They sure did. They sure did.
That's just fucking disgusting. Talk to us about shadow bans and shadow guns. Banning shadow
guns. Oh, you mean ghost guns. Okay,
ghost guns. Wow, King
there
Stole.
Are, again, this is the, like, when Democrats talk about guns, they always get a lot wrong, which doesn't, is
like
not
I
an
just
argument.
Did.
Is not an argument against policy. It's just like, well, they don't physically understand the devices that they're talking about generally. And that's, so first let me explain to you like what ghost guns are, because they're actually not one thing. When Biden talks about them, the specific thing that he's banned is there are kits that you can buy online that include basically what's called an 80% lower. So I have a bunch of AR-15s, right? I could take any one of my AR-15s and I could go online, or with a 3D printer, I could print out pieces to put around the barrel that I could attach stuff like a scope to or a light to. I could make a new stock, right? That I could take off the old stuff, put that stock on. That stuff's not regulated, right? A stock is not a gun. You don't have to give your background or anything. You don't have to like give your ID. You can just go buy a stock or whatever and put it on a gun, right? That makes sense. It's a piece of furniture. You can't kill somebody with a stock. But because guns are so modular and you can take pieces off of them and replace them with other pieces, the government has had to define what part of the gun is the gun. Because when you buy a gun in most of the United States, discounting places like Texas where things like face-to-face sales are legal, when you buy a gun, you have to go through a background check, right? You have to fill out a form 4473. You have to say that you're not on drugs or, you know, a felon or whatever. And they do a background check to make sure some of that's true. And the background check system is also flawed, but we don't need to get into that right now. But in order to make that whole system possible, they have to define what part of the gun is the gun. And for something like an AR-15, because it varies from gun to gun, this is all very complicated, but for something like an AR-15 and for most similar modern weapons, it's a piece called the lower receiver. And the lower receiver is kind of, if you look at a picture of an AR-15, the middle piece of the gun, the bottom half of that middle piece, basically, is the thing that is legally the gun. And it's basically, there's nothing in it. Like, you can buy a lower receiver that is incapable of harming anyone as anything but a club. But the lower receiver is what you put a bunch of springs and the trigger into and stuff, and then you attach the upper receiver and, like, a barrel to that, and then you have a functional gun. But the only part of it that is a gun for the purposes of regulation is the lower receiver. Some people realized, because the way guns are... So because gun laws are generally written by people who don't understand guns, they're pretty poorly written. A good example of this would be, since the bootlegger days, sawed-off shotguns are illegal, right? Unless you get something called a tax stamp and go through a special process, you cannot have a shotgun that is shorter than a specific length. I think it's 26 inches or something. Don't quote me on that. But there's a specific length under which a shotgun cannot be, right? But you can go to a store in basically any state in the nation, including California, and you can buy what is effectively a sawed-off shotgun. It is identical to a sawed-off shotgun. It functions identically to a sawed-off shotgun. But it is not legally a shotgun, and thus it is not specially regulated, and so it's just a normal gun, and you don't need an extra thing to buy it. Because in the law, a shotgun is defined as a gun with as a weapon, a smoothbore weapon with a stock. So they just never made these with stocks. It just has a pistol grip and it's super short. So a gun that would be, if you were just to take the same weapon, but it was made with a stock and you were to replace that stock with a pistol grip, you've committed a felony. But if you buy it with a pistol grip and it's only ever had a pistol grip, then it's not a shotgun and it's just a normal gun and it's fine. So again, that doesn't make any sense, right? It's very silly. So all sorts of loopholes like this exist. And the ghost guns that Biden regulated recently exist in this kind of gray area where people were taking lower receivers and making them, but there's like two or three holes in a lower receiver that you need to have drilled into it in order to put the pieces into it that make it into a gun. And if the lower receiver doesn't have those holes, it's not legally a gun. So companies were making what were called 80% lower receivers, which is the lower receiver with everything but those holes. And they would sell them with a parts kit and with a kit to make those holes and put them in the lower receiver to make it into a gun. And then it's effectively a gun. But you can just send it in the mail to who the fuck ever because it's not legally a gun, right? So yeah. That's one kind of ghost gun. There's a number of other, like, you can also 3D print a lower receiver, and that's also technically a ghost
but
gun in the way that, like, Biden defines it.
Does not fall under what Biden's talking
Biden
about.
Biden has not
about.
Regulated 3D printed arms. No. He has specifically banned these kits that people were selling. Right? So that's the thing that has been regulated just now. There's another thing. The ATF also released kind of a new definition of what a silencer is. We don't need to get into that. It's still like, even as a gun guy, it's unclear to me exactly what they've done because the language on this kind of stuff is often so like arcane and weird. Gun nerds are still kind of actually trying to figure out what that particularly means. But all that has been done right now is this one specific kind of thing that people call a ghost gun. You can't sell anymore. I mean, you can still sell those kits, but they're now regulated as firearms. So people have to fill out a 4473 and do a background check and stuff, right? That's all that's happened.
That's all that's happened, guys. That's a big,
yeah, that's
also
all.
It's not going to do anything, I don't
it's
think.
It's not going to do anything. No. It's a minor gesture, which is not a bad gesture, but it's not going to do anything. And it does not pertain to the issue. And
yeah, I don't think is likely to save any lives. It's not something I'm hugely concerned about particularly either. But it's also just like, as the president, he has the ability to do this thing, whereas other gun control regulation, you have to, like, Congress and stuff has to be involved. So this was a thing that he could do, right, in order to say that I'm taking action on gun violence, you know? So that's why this was done. It is
because there's not much he can do about anything at all.
Yeah, especially about guns, because there's, you know, Constitution and stuff. Like, this was the thing he could do to say I've taken action on ghost guns because it's a thing that scares people. I don't expect it's going to have a huge impact on anything, but
it seems like,
you know, whatever.
The start of, because again, it's midterms, right? It's midterm year.
Right.
So like, he's done this and also has started to speak up about gun regulation and like universal background checks, like the things that never get done. It seems like I'll do this
until
and then
it's time
talk,
to win an
I'll
election.
Do this. Talk about the things that we could do, but we just need more people in Congress and then the election.
And you know, there's a number of things that are like frustrating about this from just a pragmatic point of view, because like there's a bunch of articles coming out right now that Biden has the least support among young people of a Democratic president in like our fucking lifetimes. Mm. And it doesn't seem to be they don't seem to have any idea how to fix it. And clearly
they're talking to the wrong people.
The thing that young people want is like, forgive student loans, give us fucking something on healthcare,
literally
criminalize
so
marijuana and release
toast.
People from prison. Right.
Like, and
legalize weed. Memories, it's the simplest thing in the world.
That's the easiest
like,
thing in the world. We would
thing.
All be excited. You don't even have to do anything about climate change.
General,
and you get
people
psyched.
Who aren't even Democrats would be excited about that. Not everybody.
I'm very
but, like,
frustrated by all of the conversations around this and seeing what's happening. I know we've talked about it, but yeah, Democratic voters are fucking apathetic. Young people, all of us right now, the real progressives, the people that want shit done, because all we've seen over the past couple years is a person stepping back from his campaign promises and the Democratic Party incapable of winning any kind of a fight, messaging, not doing or saying the right things and instead walking back. Right now, we are facing all these huge energy questions. And instead of turning to green energy, we're you know, looking for oil in other places, releasing oil reserves. If you're going to do that, at least say also what we're going to do is invest in these technologies.
Yeah.
Make a case as to why we have got to stop depending on foreign oil, on oil in general. How this can't. It's not sustainable.
No,
but
there's
he's not doing anything. He's not doing anything like that. He's just capitulating and pretending like he never said it. And I'm sick of it. I don't know. Why do we keep voting for people that aren't going to do shit?
Because they very accurately say, well, your other choice is a guy who said he wants to murder you.
Yeah, and you know,
so what are you gonna do?
I tweeted this, and like people don't necessarily agree with me, but I was just in the mountains for the weekend and talked to a lot of conservative people who have a wide range. They care about issues or whatever. They care about climate change. Everybody I talk to does. And I'm like, I don't know that the Republican Party ever will, but if they decided to, if they decided to make it a thing, like, yep, we're going to make new jobs with green technology and and we're going to do this, motherfucker, everybody would vote for them because Dems won't do it. We don't have the backbone. Sorry, I'm real pissed off. I was in the car for a long time thinking about this.
It's so, because again, you have, number one, these issues that are very popular among the young people the Democrats are trying to offer, one of which is at least simple. Fucking change, even if you can't get it through Congress because the Republicans decide to be dicks, you can ram Republicans for being dicks, and Biden can order the DEA to alter the schedule. Like, there's shit he can do as president that will at least reduce the degree to which people are getting fucked for because of pot stuff. Meanwhile, like, he's, I don't know, this, like, the gun stuff, part of why it's frustrating is that this is not going to deal with the problems, the very real problems of gun violence, because, again, there's 400 million fucking guns in this country, and, you know, they will remain very available after this, as will ghost guns. But another part of the issue is just that, like, as a tactical move, gun control support is the lowest it's been in like a decade. For some information on like how that's changed, in 2019, 64% of Americans told Gallup they wanted stricter gun laws. In 2021, in November, 52% of Americans said they wanted stricter gun laws. Mm-hmm. Like, it's plummeted, and it's plummeted particularly among a lot of young people for a variety of reasons. We don't need to make a big gun control argument here. That's certainly not my intention. But it's just worth noting that, like, this is contentious and not super effective and provides ammo to Republicans, as opposed to do something on fucking pot, bro. It's the easiest. It's the easiest win. You know what? It'll save more lives. If you consider people thrown in prison for years and years and years to be like a loss of life, it will save more lives. Just fucking do it, bro.
You know what else is going, like, to save some more lives, Robert?
Washington State Highway Patrol? Oh.
No, maybe, but these ads.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. We did a break. We did some talking, and we're back. We're back.
We're back.
Now, what do you want to talk about?
Davis Cerini?
The truth about marijuana, the violent drug.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I have been seeing, there have been some very fun posts of people trying to revive pot panic. That's always a hoot.
It's the, they call it the devil's gun.
Yeah, love it when people mm-hmm. try to point out that, like, well, you know, people have withdrawal symptoms from pot and it is addictive. It's like, yeah, motherfucker, you know what else is addictive? Fucking CrossFit. We don't throw people into prison for doing it. you know what's addictive? Driving too fast on your motorcycle. I guess we do throw some people in prison in there, but it's whatever.
You know what's addictive? Like, little glowing shapes and colors that you have to match up, and then when they match up, you get little coins, little artificial coins, and the dings go off, and it says you did a good job, and then you play the next level, and you keep going and going and going. A lot of things are addictive.
Maybe human beings can't exist without addictions to some extent.
Maybe
and
we
it's
all
just kind
have
of a
addictions.
Matter of figuring out which ones are you can continue to be a productive human being and a good member of your family while doing.
What are good ones? What are bad
ones?
What an
empathetic way of looking at things, Robert.
Yeah.
How simple it is.
Maybe
that
it's
we
fine.
All maybe have a struggle and we have something that we rely mm-hmm. on, but we shouldn't judge or incarcerate people for being human.
Especially, anyway.
Anyway.
I don't know. How we feeling, folks?
I do think that we should talk about
the Matrix Resurrections. who wants to explain what we're about to do?
I don't know.
Hey, folks.
I haven't seen this movie.
So I will preface this by saying I have yet to see the
I have.
The
it's a pretty
sequel.
Fun movie.
Okay,
Robert's the only one that's seen this movie.
Perfect, because I'll have questions for you throughout this. So this, I don't know if our listeners are aware of, there's a guy...
There's
Leo
a guy?
Arini. A
Davis
guy.
Arini. He also goes by Leo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I do. Yeah. So you might know him as David. David MJ Arini.
Sure.
Anyway.
Cody, you want to give some, you're going to give some background on this, dude?
A little background. Yeah.
Do you remember us talking about him at Cracked back in the day?
Vaguely. He's a character. He is, he's not a character, he's an actual human being.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm going to go that hard.
He's made YouTube videos in the past. I would say he
for
was
like
most,
a decade?
For
they
a long
get
time.
They only 100 views now?
I'm, first of all, blown away that... So first of all, 2014, 2015, he's a big guy. Not big guy. He's like, he made videos about like Gamergate. And
he
like,
was an early prominent member of the alt-right.
Yeah. And like he's just and it's very like stereotypical kind of like meat-headed approach to analyzing anything, talking about anything. He has if you're familiar with H Bomber Guy, Harris has a great video on this person specifically.
A
couple of them where he sort of goes through his videos and aside from pointing out that he has one skull that he moves from room to room for his shots.
So for a little bit of context on this guy, he looks like Anton LaVey, and he dresses like a Canadian military reenactor.
Now I have to Google.
So he'll
Anton.
Usually have like a leather vest and like a fucking, he's a bald dude. He'll have like a cavalry cap on or a fedora in a suit. Mm-hmm. And he's always dressed in some like obnoxious, like again, like a suit and a fedora or his like
fedora
leather vest
guy.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And he'll sit in a chair that he's like posed everything in his room carefully. So
he's
it's like
a guy who's like carrying a cane
weapons.
When he doesn't need one.
Yes.
He's
and he'll
very
sit,
embarrassing.
And he'll sip a glass
embarrassing.
Of scotch. And it's you every now and then you can see the bottle. It's like it's from a gigantic, shitty, cheap plastic bottle of terrible scotch that he fills with ice. And he never actually drinks it.
Yeah, he has it's like he's a prop guy. And he really wants to emulate and just sort of project this idea
I feel like he's like a theater geek. guy that, or like
was never allowed to. He just wants to. He wants
exactly
to project his idea of masculinity. If you imagine, like, it's a lo-fi version of, I think, like a PragerU or like a Daily Wire like roundtable discussion where like everyone's in a leather chair. And there's everyone's wearing like they're smoking jackets and they're all pretending to like cigars. And it's just this idea of
so
what
funny.
They think they should look like. And it's him, but it's like really low budget. I was actually watching this originally and I was like, why are we going to talk about a 10-year-old review of like The Matrix Revolutions? But no, it's about the newest one. Uh-huh. This video came out in December of last year.
So funny.
But this video would have been...
It looks like it's 10 years old. It's incredible.
But he's not got any new furniture or anything like that. Everything about...
He might have moved, it looks like. He's got the same skull. He's still pretending to drink a drink. It looks like he's drinking a White Russian this time, though.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And smoking cigarettes in a prop kind of way. It's just very performative and funny, just aesthetically that. And he talks about feminism a lot. He's like very big in like the Anita Sarkeesian days, you know, complaining about women, complaining about video games and just like that kind of guy. So he has this review of the new Matrix film, The Matrix Resurrections, and he thinks it's actually pretty good, despite what all of the anti-SJWs SJWs might have to say about it. So I have not seen the new Matrix yet. I want to. I'm sure it's really good. I look forward to it. I'll see it eventually. I've watched this review from start to finish. I know he's wrong about so many things he says. I will have questions to follow up, having not seen the movie. But so if you could help me out with that, Robert.
Sure.
As you have
now,
seen
Cody,
it.
Why are we talking about this bad film review with 250 views from a fascist who the reason so this guy, the thing that brought him to prominence, there's a woman named Anita Sarkeesian who did video game reviews from like a feminist perspective, and it got a bunch of people very angry, and their anger wound up playing a role in the election of Donald Trump. It's a stupid story. It's Gamergate
really,
shit.
It's dumb.
Davis Arini and this other guy who I don't want to name because I'm kind of worried that he's will hurt himself. Wound up crowdfunding a documentary called The Sarkeesian Effect, where they got like tens of thousands of dollars to try to make a documentary that's supposed to be like showing the dark, evil sides of this, like the sinister reality of this lady who is, again, like talking about video games on the internet. And then they never really made it because they immediately had a fight and spent the money on cars and released like the shittiest, like it's all very funny, but he was kind of in the era before the alt-right really got formed. He was fairly prominent. And then H Bomber Guy did a video laughing at the fact that he was very like pointedly posing the same toy skull behind himself in every shot where he would like do a monologue.
Incredible.
And it was such a good own that he disappeared. He got torpedoed off of the internet. It's extremely funny, the degree to which he just got blown out of the water. And now, after 10 straight years of making videos and writing articles and shit, his shit gets like 200-something views. It's just incredibly funny.
It's a beautiful sight to see. It looks like it was made 10 years ago.
It does.
I don't know, like, how that's
Cody,
even possible.
You
and it's
have
also
not
one
seen...
shot, which I love. It's like one shot for 30 minutes.
Yeah, like Goodfellas.
Yeah, exactly. like Goodfellas. Thank you.
I mean, we make a show that's primarily one shot, but we cut to things.
Mm-hmm.
We
you
cut
do.
To things. We also like.
We also have a puppet.
You have
got it.
Plots.
Bought a camera.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. Prepare. do some research, like minimal research. There's a section in this.
Cody,
where he, like,
I've drank with you.
Pontificates on what the director might think about stuff.
Like, you're capable of handling more than a tiny sip of scotch over the course of an hour and a half.
You know what? I really am. It's oh my god! It's so funny to watch him pretend to drink.
He was a pioneer of a kind of content near and dear to my heart, which is when a right wing shithead sits in their car with a glass of scotch and a cigarette and smokes in their car while complaining about a movie.
It's so good.
He was groundbreaking in that field.
It's still art. It still gets me. It's still you know, they're still playing the hits and we appreciate them for it.
Now, is there any real pragmatic reason for us to be talking about Davis Arini? Absolutely not.
Why
but it can't
be?
Hurt
why
anything.
Do why do you
he's
need
had
one?
His stab at being a prominent right-wing influencer and he failed because he's just too silly. So it's sometimes fun to laugh at him. I miss laughing at these guys and he's like the last member of an era where like it was fun to laugh at them because there was no chance of them actually really hurting people. And I don't think Davis is capable of hurting anyone anymore.
Yeah, that's the
other
thing about
the people
this video
close
too,
to him, but whatever.
Like, right. Yeah. But this video in particular, it's mostly innocuous and only funny. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's some like language he uses where I'm like, wait, did you just say that?
yeah, he sure did.
But, like, there's very little, like, most of these, you know, types of guys, especially the prominent ones now, are, like, really pushing, like, very toxic, bad lies. Mm-hmm. And this is just a guy watching movies wrong.
It is. It's so funny. And he admits in the opening of the movie that he has, for his entire adult life, patterned the way he dresses off of the first Matrix movie, which, if you see pictures of this guy, is the funniest thing in the world.
It's absolutely
Harrison
true.
And
he's
I
a cypher,
nearly
right?
died when he said that.
It's incredible. I
it's
can't.
It's so funny. He looks like if Anton LaVey shopped at Ross.
I feel bad for him. I do.
Oh, I don't. He's a really
sweet.
Bad person.
Yeah,
like, he's
I'm
very
sure he
racist.
Is.
He's very sexist. He's the most famous picture of him is him sitting in a chair with his scotch that he doesn't drink and a cigarette and a t-shirt that says, "This is what a patriarch looks like."
Oh boy,
it's really funny.
He's an incredible
it's really
specimen.
Funny.
Oh my god, that's really
it's,
funny.
It's also
that's
like
perfect.
It's perfect. It's this again. This sort of like. 10-year-old sort of like idea of a guy and he survived somehow and he's still
he's
that
fossil.
Guy if you watched this, if you didn't know who he was, you would think this guy's doing a bit. This is like a funny bit mm-hmm. about this type of guy from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm.
It's just a joke I don't quite get. But
right.
No.
Like, I don't know the source material maybe, but there's like clearly satire going on. No, it's a real guy and this is... These are his real thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I don't even know where to start because this is it's such a funny. There's so many misinterpretations of this movie, again, that I haven't even seen. There are complaints he makes in this video. Throughout the whole thing, it's fascinating because he complains about people's false readings of the Matrix mm-hmm. trilogy. And there's this like talking about how like you put your own like opinion on it, which like, hey, man, watch your own review real quick. But complain like, you know, people like, oh, thinking about like capitalism and like commodification of X and Y. And he doesn't talk about the trans of it all, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But in
at the very
that,
end, he talks a little bit about
he gets
Lana
into it a little
Wachowski.
Bit, yeah. Which is the really dicey stuff, I would say.
Yes.
But
honestly, even then, not that bad for a fascist today.
Right. Yeah. It was like I was like one thing he said made me go like, oh, man, really? And then I was like, I guess it's not worse than what other more prominent people say publicly.
No.
But it's funny because he talks about this and then there's a brief period where he talks about how in the early 2000s there was this move towards more freedom, which is like a hilarious thing to talk about during like post 9/11.
Yeah, the fucking like, Patriot Act
like
years.
An incredible thing to claim mm-hmm. about the way society was moving. And then he talks about like, you know, it was also the height of these movies like The Matrix and like Fight Club. And it's like, man,
it was
you're
the
saying...
era in which only Gilbert Gottfried stood up for liberty.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
look
right.
At that
the
Call
one
back.
Hero in American
but
history.
Like, talking about how like people are like putting these like fake like anti-capitalist perspectives on these movies, and then talking about Fight Club for a while is so funny to me. There's literally a scene in that movie where they show the prices of everything in the guy's apartment, and
it's
like
so funny.
He like half the movie takes place in his like soul sucking office where he literally beats the shit out of his boss. And like it's just like what a weird disconnect to have that. And then there's a whole section where he talks about how It's incredible, actually. So he's talking about this movie, and he talks about it as if it's a remake. He refers to it as a remake a bunch, which is very weird. And then he talks about how, like, you know, and there are all these remakes these days, and, like, you know, I understand the pushback against this movie originally. Like, you know, there's so many remakes these days. And then he, as an example, he talks about the Marvel movies, which I can, I understand if you're saying, like, yeah, they're a little, like, they kind of repeat themselves, and, like, it's kind of like the same sort of thing over and over. They're not remakes. It's a series of movies. And then he's like, but there's a recent era of remakes that I think is really, really, like, proves this sort of, like, creative spark is alive again. And his examples are, the first one is Dune, which, fair enough, I would argue, first of all, he says he didn't see it. so he hasn't seen it yet, and also claims that I would say if he did see it, he probably wouldn't like it, because he'd be like, but it was they made it political or whatever, like that would be his complaint. But he hasn't seen Dune, and then he says another example of a really great remake these days is Ghostbusters. Not the feminist Ghostbusters, but the new Ghostbusters.
Oh, the one that's sad for some reason? I haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm not going to shit on your Ghostbusters. I don't care if you love it.
It's fine. If you like it, whatever.
Yeah, that's great, actually.
This movie he had seen and says it was really, really great.
Good, but again, I'm glad you enjoyed a thing.
Not a remake, my friend. That's a sequel.
It is a sequel. That one is the
first direct sequel. It's called Afterlife for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it's a sequel.
It does, in fact, have the original characters come back to the extent that
later on in their lives.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. And then his final example was Blade Runner, which again is not a remake. It is a sequel. It says right in the title that it takes place in a year after the original movie. It's literally in the title that it's not a remake. And that's like a really specific nitpick. But I just thought it was very funny.
I would argue it's an important pivotal nitpick.
Just like not talking about remakes correctly. Also saying that his claim is that, like, you know, there's, like, aside from, like, you know, and he, like, talks about, like, the presidents and movies in the same breath, where he's like, yeah, if we had Clinton and Bush, and then we had, you know, the lame duck Trump, and now we've got Biden. But also, we have this creative spark of movies and remakes. And it's like, those thoughts don't go together. What, like, you could talk about politics and art and the connection between the two, but he doesn't. He just says that we had presidents, and now we have these remakes. I would also posit that a remake directly negates your claim that there's a creative spark. If they're remaking movies, then there isn't a creative spark. And you could say that there is by citing other movies that are original movies that are good, that exist now. But he's saying that we have a creative spark in Hollywood now because of Ghostbusters Afterlife. And I just don't know what to say to a person like that. I don't know how that person's brain exists in society.
So there's two kinds of people who are profoundly wrong. There's the kinds of people who are wrong and you have to deal with it, right? You have to either try and convince them that they're wrong, or you have to deal with the consequences of their wrongness.
Of them being wrong, right? Yeah.
Yeah, politicians, cops, whatever, fascists. I mean, some fascists.
Pundits.
But every now and then you get, and David Cerini is a fascist, but he's someone where it doesn't matter that he's wrong. Like, he's incapable of being taken seriously, even by the people on his side. And we can just marvel at what a weird goblin he is.
I love it.
I can't get enough.
I completely. It's delicious. I like watching this entire thing. Again, I've not seen the new movie. And I'm like, well, that's hilariously wrong. Well, that's a gross misreading of the movie that I haven't seen yet. Like, it's so obvious.
It is really funny, because the question I keep having as he's, like, trying to analyze this movie in a way that, number one, makes it really clear, oh, you've never read or listened to a single thing that any of the Wachowskis have said about it. Mm. But also, you've never looked at the movie and just, like, looked at the things that are on set, like the copies of the books in Neo's office, be like, oh, I wonder if that, like, might have anything to do with, like, the stuff. No. Like, for somebody who's obsessed with these movies, I don't think he's never had a real thought in his head about them other than they're cool. They're neat.
No, they're cool and they're neat, and they
that's so funny, but most importantly, they reaffirm
his priors, right? Like, it's just like I can push my view through this movie.
Hey boys, I hate for my only interjection to be such a buzzkill, but it's time for an ad break.
Hold that thought, Robert.
You know what Davis Cerini will never have is sponsors, because nobody cares what he has to say about anything except for people like us who want to laugh about it.
Well, he's just so against, for the capitalization or commodification of, or he's against it. It's unclear. It's really unclear.
We're going to an ad break now.
Capitalism, but yeah.
The important thing is that we're going to an ad break now.
Mm.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian premium cocktail maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Yeah, we're back from that break.
We're back from that
and
break.
And I am back to resuming listening to you guys talk about this.
We are talking about the only issues that really matter, is laughing about this weirdo.
And his bizarre takes of about a movie that, again,
if you think we're punching down, there's a bunch of videos of him like saying the N-word and being horrible to people.
He's a piece
and
of
talking
shit.
About
garbage.
Jewish conspiracies. He's a terrible person. Again, horrible man.
Yeah.
But just
and,
funny.
And like,
don't
yeah.
feel bad for him.
No,
don't
it's
make
okay
the mistake that
laugh.
I made looking at him being a drip.
He's such a drip.
Honestly, I couldn't watch this video. I didn't realize. I half thought it was a joke when you sent it.
Because
he was so unpleasant to look at. And I was like, we can't talk about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mean. I don't mean unpleasant to look at, like, physically. I just mean everything that he's putting out there.
It has nothing to do with his body. He's unpleasant to look at for the choices he's made of how to present himself. The clothing he chooses to wear. The fact that he decides to always pose in front of a plastic skull while holding a glass of scotch that he doesn't drink and repeatedly smoking cigarettes in his own house.
And I guess my mistake was thinking that we couldn't possibly be talking about this, but
oh no, we are. We absolutely are.
So I accept that, and I am enjoying listening to you two talk about it.
We are talking about the shit out of this.
So don't let me stop you.
Also, I just can't stress enough that it is 30 minutes, one take, him flipping through his little journal and like slowly remembering the points that he wanted to bring up and talk about. There were a few, I had to pause it every once in a while to laugh and to like jot something down. And every single time I would unpause it, I thought it was still paused because he physically like doesn't move for periods of time when he's thinking about what he's about to say or like trying to remember.
That's
what,
just
what
good
he's
TV.
That's just good filmmaking.
Riveting.
He's again. He's been doing these for 10 years, and he never learned to edit.
That's
like
the thing.
Not once.
He didn't
spend 10 minutes learning how to do like a cut or anything.
Like download iMovie, man. It's like
would think that, like how many views did you say he gets?
Well, this one's like 200 something.
200 something.
You would think after doing this for so long and continuing to not have success, in the, you know, like a successful channel would grow your audience, right? You would think that you would be like, what can I do to make this better? Oh yes, editing. People enjoy editing.
Yeah, you know, he's a narcissist, I think. So he does have to have his opinion out there, and he has to portray himself as this like badass right-wing revolutionary thought leader, military historian. He really wants to portray himself as like tough. So he made this. He's Canadian. I think he lives in Vegas now, if I'm up on my Arini, but he's Canadian.
You're Lorini.
So before like Gamergate happened, one of the things he did before he kind of became prominent is he got a bunch of funding from the government of Toronto to make a short film. Like, it was like $10,000 that they gave him. Apparently, Garrison says this is something the government of Toronto does a shitload. It's just like
shotgunned out
terrible art fund or art funding for, which is fine. I have no problem with this. And I have no problem with the fact that they gave it to Davis Arini because the resulting movie is very funny. So he made a movie. It's like 20 minutes. It's called, are you ready? Have you seen his movie? It is called Lust in the Time of Heartache.
Oh boy.
And the whole movie, horrible sound quality, by the way. Like, he doesn't know how to mic people. So it's like him giving a narration about how like fallen the modern world is and like men and women don't know how to get along and like women are, you know, shallow and men don't understand how to take control. And it's like him giving this like speech while walking around in a suit and a fedora past like groups of men and women having hackneyed conversations.
Wait,
that you can
the movie?
I'm getting to the movie. Having hackneyed conversations that you can barely hear because, again, he doesn't know how to mic people. And then at like the halfway point after he's finished this rant about like struggling and yada yada yada, like just really dull fascist bullshit, a bunch of the men who have been like he's been walking past on the street attack him with ninja weapons, and he pulls out size, and then it's like a 10-minute fight choreography of him with size fighting guys with swords and bats. And it's bad. He doesn't know how to do blocking. He doesn't like, he clearly got the funding from Canada so he could buy a bunch of ninja weapons for himself. And he had to make a movie then. And it's the funniest fucking thing in the world.
Sounds like something you make when you're like eight.
Yeah,
with your
he's
kid.
Like it 30 does. When he makes this thing. It's so funny.
It's a high school learning that like, if I jump off this roof and I put it in reverse, it looks like I'm force jumping onto the roof. Like, it's that shit. But a 30-year-old man, apparently.
A 30-year-old man who needed the government of Canada's funding to buy a pair of size.
What an incredible mind.
He's so funny.
I didn't know about that movie. Shit. That's amazing.
It's so good.
Now I can't wait to find out what he thinks about The Matrix. There's two other things I needed to mention about this incredible review.
Uh-huh.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, as you've seen the movie and I have not.
That's right.
So one of the main things I think that is worth discussing is, well, aside from his like misunderstanding and like he's constantly contradicting himself about like what the movie is about and what like he didn't like people misinterpreting the original to be about.
Yeah.
Which is this a very fun little disconnect to sort of see like dance around in his eyes. But he does start to talk about Lana Wachowski and how, like, just because she's trans, although he's he doesn't, I don't think he says she, but like, no, he says we all know who they are and what they are. Mm-hmm. That was the one that was like, wait a second, you're disgusting. So he's talking about Lana Wachowski and how, like, just because of who she is doesn't mean that, like, that's what the movie's about. Like, it doesn't mean, like, that's what she's putting, like, into the movie. Like, that's us playing identity politics by assuming that she thinks this. And it's just such a funny, like, thing. Because, A, he's wrong here. But also, he's right in that, like, yeah, that's what people have been, like, saying. Like, he talks about the Bugs character with the purple hair, blue hair, whatever. It's like, people say she's, like, the SJW character because she has blue hair. But, like, not everybody has blue hair is like that. It's like, man, watch one of your videos from 8 years ago where that's all you did. Like, you're making, like, five-minute, like, cringe compilations of people with blue hair and calling them SJWs. What do you... What is this growth that's... It's like anti-growth. It's so weird to see him talk about it. But the important thing, and this is where I need you to help me out, Robert, because he's talking about... Because he makes, like, these passing... mentions about society and how this movie is about, like, the libs and the pandemic. Pretty sure it's made before the pandemic, but whatever. And how it's like, it's about, like, the libs and the bots and, like, the NPCs. And, you know, you can, sure, you can pick your own gender or whatever, but you gotta wear a mask and stuff like that. So he's, like, very flippant about the gender and stuff like that. And then he starts talking about the movie being about the separation of man and woman. And I assume that, like, part of this is about, it's like Neo and Trinity and, like, their separation and bringing them back together. And he talks about the separation of man and woman and the yin and the yang and how, like, if, you know, when you have the separation, you can be controlled. But when you have, when there's the there's a union between the man and the woman, then that's when you're, like, you're truly free. And it's just like every step of the way during this review, I'm like, you're so close, man. You're so fucking close to knowing what the movie is talking about, of this, like, the separation of man and woman and, like, this union by this trans director, and how if you like the freedom that can be gained from, like, rejecting this idea of, like, the separation between man and woman. And again, I haven't seen the movie. Maybe you can speak a little more to that. But it seems like just, like, the most basic reading of the movie being taken and made to be like, yeah, a man and a woman should be, like, together and married or something. Like... Right? Am I misreading that? Am I misinterpreting what he said in the review?
No, I don't think you are. I think, like, that's correct.
I just remember watching that and being like, "You're a little bit further." Just like, why are they constrained? Why, like, what is constraining them? Why do they not feel free by this dichotomy of man and woman? Like, just like, what do you think talking about, Davis? So maybe, I don't know, maybe I need to watch the movie and I'll get it a little better.
That'll give you you should watch the movie to gain a whole new appreciation for Davis Sereny.
I
mean, the thing about Davis, so, like, some of it's that, like, okay, you could choose to do Death of the Author, right? Like, that's a perfectly valid way to look at art.
Totally.
Like, it doesn't matter what the person who created it intended. What matters is, like, what can be, like, taken away from it, right? And, like, my, you know, the interpretation of the person watching. Like, I don't need to like look up what the creator says about, like, why they made this and what it meant. Like, Lord of the Rings can be about World War I if that's the thing that you take out of it or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter that Tolkien yelled about that his whole life. But if you're going to say, like, this is not what Lana Wachowski meant, then you do kind of have to look at what Lana Wachowski has said about the things that she's made in order, like, to, like, yeah.
It's wild. Like, and he's even, he even alludes to, like, and, you know, maybe she said stuff about this. I don't know. Buddy, it's a 30-minute video. You gotta Google for a second to see what this person has said about the world and, like, her worldview.
A second. A literal second.
Like, she's alive. You can find out. It's just so funny to watch that movie again that I have not seen and be like, this is about the pandemic and what I think about like
so
men and women and gender.
To close us out talking about Davis Arini, I just looked up, he's blocked me on Twitter because his profile picture used to be him on a trip to the U.S. shooting a handgun.
What's his Twitter handle? I'll take a peep.
At Arini. So his Twitter used to be, his profile used to be him holding a handgun. And the way he was holding it was with like, he had one hand around the gun and another hand under it. It's called a teacup grip. And it's not how you're supposed to hold a handgun. People did used to do it. It doesn't, there's a lot of reasons why it's bad. And I like pointed out, this was like 8 years ago. I made fun of him for it because he brags about having been like a Canadian soldier. And then he went on this whole rant about that's totally how they teach you to hold a gun in Canada. And I then pulled up a bunch of Canadian military training documents to show that he was wrong and probably lying about having been in the Canadian military.
So now his profile picture is him in a cowboy hat and a long coat, but in the snow, but his back is turned to the camera.
Are you seeing his pronouns, Katie?
And you can't see where his hand is, so he's either pissing or holding a gun. His pronouns are daddy, sir.
No one's ever called you either of those
things,
Davis.
Ever.
Not ever. Unless it is, sir, you need to leave. You're making a scene.
Seriously?
You can't smoke here and record your videos.
He only has, I'm not follower shaming, but again, the man has 3,000 followers.
He only has 500 on Gab. I just found a Medium post where he apparently wrote a 7,000-word essay on how our institutions are cluster B capture collapse theory. He has 4 followers on Medium. Very funny. Again, he's dedicated his whole life to this.
I guess that's the point. Is it's like that's sad? It's like, it's not. Do not feel bad, but man,
no. It's just funny to see a fascist try really hard to have an influence on the world and completely fail because everybody thinks he's silly. It's really funny. It's just really funny. And sometimes it's nice to just laugh at that, to just laugh at a terrible person failing.
Just failing in like the silliest way too. Like just wrong about everything.
Yeah.
And like half of it's like horrendous stuff and the other half is like, well, you're just a silly man.
Mm-hmm. You're just a silly, silly man.
But the important thing is that the creative spark is back in Hollywood now that they made the Ghostbusters sequel.
Very questionable things.
Oh yeah, no, he's a
he's a horrible person.
Beyond questionable. That was a nice way of phrasing it. But I'm just scrolling through his media posts, and no thanks. I think we've done it here today.
I think we've got it.
I think you guys did the heavy lifting, but
this is clearly what the people wanted, was for us to talk about the news for 10 minutes and then Davis Arini for 40.
Anybody that's still listening is a hero. And let us know what you think of this book.
I'm just glad that we finally got back to the basics, to what we wanted to do at the start of this show, which is make fun of Davis Arini, a guy no one listening to this podcast had heard of before we started.
That's how it was sold, right?
That's why the original pitch.
Yeah, we went to our bosses at iHeart and said, let me show you this fucking guy.
Eventually, he's going to keep making videos.
Yeah.
And one of them.
Look, we're not going to say anything about him for a couple of years because it's not quite as funny as it's going to be if we let him have done this for a decade without any kind of impact on the
world.
The
big reveal. He's actually been doing this for quite a while.
All right.
I just go look for the video because it really does look like it was made in 2011. It's incredible.
It's so funny.
You guys should say that we're taking 2 weeks off and then we'll be back.
Yeah, we're taking 2 weeks off, then we'll be back. In the meantime,
I don't know, will we?
Go look up H Bomber Guy's videos about Davis Arini.
Definitely do that.
Yeah, look, like, it's such a beautiful, amazing, hilarious primer to this
it's so funny.
Human being.
I'm going to do that while I'm sending these files to Daniel.
Do it.
That's great.
You know what else?
What?
Bye.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Get in the zone! AutoZone!
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.